This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
With John Potash, what we can do is say, just talk.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's fascinating. I would just sit back and listen because you have a way of weaving all these threads together that sort of almost answer the questions that are coming up as you're talking. I'm thinking, oh, I got to ask about that. And then all of a sudden you're right into it. So by all means, it's really informative. Have you ever had any threats yourself or any veiled threats or, you know, people following you? Or
I think they censor me. I mean, I basically, they haven't allowed, you know, my film didn't get out in the theaters. The distributor got it and decided he's just going to put it out online digitally. But I just think it's been censored so much online and other places. And, you know, you've read the, as you said, people are attacking me from all different angles.
Yeah, we talked about that a little bit before the beginning of the show. So, you know, would you like to respond to any of that negative criticism? Like, what about the accusations that your work is essentially just left-wing propaganda designed to attack the right, or that the evidence you cite is simply a collection of bits and pieces from other sources rather than anything truly original?
Yeah, I guess I've lost track of really what left-wing and right-wing even means anymore. So I originally, you know, in my first book, I did put the term leftist activist in, you know, somewhere in the title. And then my second book, Drugs as Weapons Against Us, the first book again was FBI War on Tupac Shakur and Black Leaders. And in the subtitle, I have the word leftist. In the second book, Drugs as Weapons Against Us, I changed the term leftist to and just said activist because I was starting to believe that you can't even go by these terms. These terms, right wing and left wing, seem to split us. When most of us in this country have similar values, whether we consider ourselves right-wing or left-wing, we don't like war. We don't like people being killed en masse. And, you know, and most of us don't believe in racism. We believe in equality. You know, to me, that's not left-wing or right-wing. That's just like a basic, you know, good human value, you know? So I just don't even know. I mean, most of what I talk about really is anti-war and anti-racism. And so I think there's plenty of right-wing people that feel the same way. They're anti-war and anti-racism. I've actually been interviewed by people that consider themselves very right-wing, and they've been ardent supporters of my work. So I you know, I've been supported by far-left and far-right people. And, you know, you mentioned InfoWars and Caravan to Midnight. John Wells used to be on Coast to Coast, has interviewed me twice. You know, InfoWars interviewed me twice, and guy just interviewed me from, can't remember the name of the radio station, but his name's Pastor Butch. And everything he talked about made me think, yes, he's, you know, we have different values on certain areas. He's definitely much more right-wing than I could ever consider, you know, my values. And my values I've always considered as left-wing. Yes, it's true. But I don't even know where I stand now because, you know, the basic tenets of, you know, anti-war and anti-racism are, I think, are pretty universal. That's all I can say.
To be fair, too, from the reviews that I was reading prior to the interview here, most of these negative responses, they don't actually counter any of the points that you make. They just try to spin it into this left-wing, right-wing thing, which almost seems like a red herring. It's like, okay, well, so what if it's left-wing or right-wing? What about the facts of the situation? Exactly. You know, what's true and what's not true and what's conjecture and what's not conjecture? And from what I can tell, yeah, there's the threads are tenuous in some circumstances, but when you get so many of them that seem to add up to, or at least point in the same direction, it's pretty hard to ignore.
Yeah. And some of the people I put on in my film, like Cyril Wecht, who I described before, you know, who talks about the Kurt Cobain death, he's been on Fox News, he's been on CNN, he's been on MSNBC, he's been on Channel 13, you know, I mean, ABC, NBC, CBS. He's in his early 80s now. and he's just considered one of the top national experts, forensic investigators. And he's, you know, he's a doctor. He was actually also in that film Concussion, you know, in fictional form. You know, they'd say his name, I think, at one point.
The one with Will Smith?
Yeah, with Will Smith. Because
that's a good movie, yeah. He plays a serious doctor in that.
Cyril Wecht, his supervisor, is Will Smith's supervisor in that film. I mean, like, you know, it's about a real person, and Cyril Wecht's a real person who really was a supervisor. Yeah. And so, you know, he just says the facts as they are. Yeah, from what he can determine about Kurt Cobain, he was murdered, and it was made to look like a suicide. So, you know, when you get people like that, and when you get CIA whistleblowers and FBI whistleblowers, like I have in my film, I've got John Stockwell, I mentioned, I've got CIA whistleblower Phil Agee, FBI whistleblower Wes Swearingen, who was part of the FBI's counterintelligence program, which was working with MKUltra and with MH Chaos. You know, these guys, I don't know where they consider themselves politically, and it doesn't really matter. They're just about revealing the truth, you know?
Okay, so how about a little conjecture here then, extrapolation maybe.
Uh-huh.
If we go back into the history on some of this, we probably all remember Reagan's big war on drugs.
Yeah. Right?
So, you know, on one hand, they're saying, no, don't take it. This is your brain on drugs. Right. And they had the eggs and then the eggs in the frying pan. And right. So, if the government was spending all that money trying to get people off of drugs, then how does it in any way make sense to have the secret program going on to try to keep people hooked on it? And on the other side of things.
Well, I argue it's a reverse psychology kind of method. First thing, they make it a black and white issue. It's comical. I learned about drugs through cartoons, and it's always they make it a cartoon issue. Yeah, sure. You know, if you pretend like all these drugs will kill you, and then when you try weed and it doesn't kill you, you know, like I remember the cartoons when I was in elementary school saying if you add weed plus alcohol, you can die. You know, it's absurd, of course. then you smoke a little weed and you drink a little beer and you don't die. You're like, everything is saying fraudulent, you know? And so, you know, I think what it is they put things in black and white. They don't explore the nuances of all these drugs. And they don't, you know, and they, I think it is some reverse psychology when people are saying, well, we hate Reagan and We he's leading us to all these wars and doing all these terrible things. So if he doesn't want us to do acid, it must be good for us, you know. And that's actually what I heard from some Columbia students when I was in grad school there, is that, like, if the government doesn't want us to do it, it must be good for us. Because they appeal to these anti-establishment, you know, young activists that way. And I tried to tell them, well, you know, I thought that too when I was in college, but it turned out it really wasn't good. And then when I explored it more, I found that even though I had never had bad trips, it just really was doing something, you know, a little harmful. And you know, I hope you don't want that, even though, you know, it might be fun for a moment for a few 8 hours. You're not going to like how it feels afterwards when you can't remember what you studied, and it's hard to remember things and, you know, figure out things for your assignments and all.
Well, then again, wasn't there an assassination attempt on Reagan?
It was an assassination on Reagan. And it's funny because it really was Bush they wanted in office. And they didn't think Bush could actually win the presidency. Reagan was just a puppet, where Bush was part of the families that were kind of in cahoots with the Rockefellers, Harrimans, and J.P. Morgan interests. You know, Prescott Bush was head of Brown Brothers Harriman, which was a group that was actually trading with the Nazis. They were found guilty of trading with the enemy. And so, yeah, they wanted Reagan, the puppet, out because he wasn't a good – they wouldn't trust him as a puppet enough, and they wanted Bush in there, yeah.
Interesting. So, of course, I'm in Canada. I don't know if we mentioned that yet, but up here we've now got legalized marijuana for recreational purposes, as long as you're of age. So what do you think about decriminalization? Do you think it would be more helpful than harmful in the long run, or how does that fit into all that your way of thinking?
Yeah, I mean, in some ways, I wish it was decriminalized in the sense that I don't want people, so many young people locked up over such a small crime. That's ridiculous to me.
We'll talk about that briefly. Back to the conspiracies with our vast, vast, vast group of guests with John and Gene and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Have you heard the warning from the dead doctors don't lie guy? I'm talking about Dr. Joel Wallach. He says if you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol or high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, or other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. That's what he says. He has a free lecture revealing what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in his free lecture called Deadly Recipe. You want it free? Call him toll free at 855-79-YOUNG. You ready? 855-79-YOUNG. Dr. Joel Wallach, the dead doctors don't lie guy, says there's no reason why we shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there.
Homemakers, groceries by mail ships free. Try our amazing bacon. It stores in your pantry. No refrigeration required. Our value-added packaging provides a 10-year shelf life and protects the leanest, thickest, center-cut, fully cooked bacon in America today. Ready to eat right from the pouch or warm and serve. Always priced less than grocery for your everyday use. Savory and delicious. Order today at ReadyToEatBacon.com. ReadyToEatBacon.com.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with Reputation Defender. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with Reputation Defender. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771. For your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with Reputation Defender. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
I don't want to focus endlessly on drugs and sentencing and all the permutations. I think we all know that so many people spent so many years in jail for very, very minor drug offenses. In terms of minor offenses, there is someone in Texas now, a woman, who accidentally submitted a ballot when she was not eligible to vote, accidentally. Nobody disputes that. She was sentenced to 5 years in prison. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, it's incredible. It really is. And people, you know, some of these people get caught with mass voter fraud. Like we're talking about, you know, paying preachers to sway their congregants to, you know, vote a certain way, like, or to stay away from the polls, or computer voter fraud that affects vast amounts of people, and they don't get locked up. But in the sense that, you know, with weed, you know, no, I don't think people should be locked up for, you know, small quantities of weed. Of course not. And, you know, in my book and my film, I don't really address criminalization, decriminalization, except to say that they are using weed as an excuse to lock up tons of people. And they did in the 60s, they used it as an excuse to lock up some key activist leaders like John Sinclair, head of the White Panthers. But at the same time, I wish people wouldn't smoke weed as much, because I think it makes you know, it makes us all a little stupider, a little hazier, and, you know, we can't usually perform our best activism when we're a little stoned, you know, when we're very stoned. And these days, actually, it's a lot stronger than it was in the 60s, a lot stronger. And so when I read a book called Tell Your Children by Alex Berenson, it actually gave me a new view of weed, where it's gotten a little more serious than it was ever when I was growing up in the 80s and, you know, you guys in the 60s and all that.
Well, what I remember about it, you know, I grew up through the 70s and stuff, is that, and I always figured, well, I just missed that sort of peace activism thing. And to me, the whole symbol of the marijuana leaf was essentially went hand in hand with the peace symbol. So I suppose, you know, one could surmise that if they're trying to discredit an anti-war culture, then one of the best things to do, or one of the things they could do, is to turn them into criminals. And that would just, you know, certainly discredit them, I suppose. I don't know about necessarily all of the claims about whether or not it makes you stupider or what. It's never been my experience that it's done that, but
maybe you got stronger in the 80s, you know.
Well, if I've ever done it, I've just gotten down to doing some house cleaning or some guitar practicing or something creative, and it's never been a problem for me. But, you know, maybe I'm just an anomaly in that respect.
Did you try to write a really cogent essay, though, when, you know, for an article or something like that?
Oh, yeah, I've done that. Sure. I mean, I'll admit it. I've inhaled, and, you know, it's the first time I've sort of admitted this on the show. I wouldn't recommend it as a investigative tool for paranormal investigation, but there does seem to be some evidence that, you know, the measured and positive use of psychedelics and maybe marijuana can enhance our perceptions and perhaps contribute to creativity in the arts and sciences. And there's some people who have made those claims. And so, you know, I think maybe in some regards, this whole plan they have has really backfired with some people, while at the same time, it's like this double-edged sword almost.
Well, I could see that. Yeah, I could agree with that. Maybe for weed in some sense, except I tell people I counsel that you just never know what you're smoking, though, because every dealer that touched it before you did had is access to your brain. And so some people I've counseled who were bulk dealers would say we would spray roach killer on our weed so the rats wouldn't eat it all, our stash, where we stash it. Then you're smoking roach killer, you know. So
that's why I quit doing it for years until it recently became legal, because now we have quality controls, and then they can't do that sort of stuff anymore. There's a government seal on it. There's a guarantee of quality. And so, you know, I don't know that's any better than the stuff that was back in the 70s, but at least there's some quality control.
Yeah. And the only other thing I'll say about weed, though, is, yeah, I don't say much about weed in the sense of, even my introduction, I say, you know, plenty of people I know, of course, smoke weed, but it's just a matter of every now and then it's fine, but people that smoke weed every day, it starts to get, you start to see an effect. But kids, when they start smoking weed at like 13 or 14 years old, you see it affect grades, you see it affect their best abilities with, you know, sports and other things, where it doesn't have the best outcomes. With the people I counsel, when I counsel teenagers, I see them dropping out of school way young, and it makes life a lot harder.
Yeah. You know, when you're talking about young people, I mean, there's an age limit up here for it. I think some of the states down there have gone towards legalization, or it is legal in some, which I think is probably a step in the right direction. You know, maybe just to get back on track with the show.
Sure. Because I don't really talk about any of this stuff in my book or film. I just, except for, you know, the mass incarceration of people, I am against that.
So some of these connections, though, that you have between the oligarchy and the entertainment industry, the government, and in particular the intelligence and military, and these secret mind manipulation programs, this is all really still quite fascinating. Can you delve into that? I don't even think we've touched on, like, the Grateful Dead or Bob Marley yet.
Yeah, well, sadly enough, with Marley, I have a whole chapter of him in my book, in both my books, actually, because... Now, granted, he was, you know, smoking weed regularly and all that, but the CIA was seriously pushing cocaine and heroin in Jamaica in the, you know, in the 70s and 80s. And there was a socialist prime minister of Jamaica that Marley was friends with. And so he was going to do a big concert during the next, right before the next election, which was the socialist prime minister against a CIA-backed, you know, opponent. And so soon before the concert, now people, you know, were, the CIA was worried that the concert was going to be seen as a complete endorsement of the, you know, current socialist leader. So they shot up Marley's home. They shot Marley. They shot his wife. They shot his manager, Don Taylor. So the government had him, like, taken into an encampment surrounded with soldiers, surrounded with Rastas with to protect Marley before this concert. And so a cameraman actually got into a camera crew that was going to do a film about this whole concert. And a guy named Lilu Lee was a former Black Panther who was also turned into a cinematographer. He said that he didn't know who this new technician was, but he supposedly had a great resume, so they thought he'd be helpful. And this guy ends up, he says, it turns out they found out that he was actually a CIA agent. And they believed he was the son of – he was actually – I think his name was – I forgot his first name all of a sudden, but he was the son of William Colby, the one-time CIA director. And so he gave Bob Marley – he brought some shoes with him, gift shoes. He gave Bob Marley his gift boots. And the Rasta kind of tradition is to, like, try on a gift once you – you know, as soon as you get it. And so he tried on these gift boots and was stabbed in the toe with something. So no one thought anything of it. Lilu Lee said he saw it, but didn't think anything of it at the time. But a few months later, Marley crushed that toe playing soccer, and they found that it had cancer. And then
whoa! That's a good way to start. Sure. Stop right here. He had cancer. More to come with John, Gene, Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
This is George Dory from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens. We support the amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Jeunesse products are designed by leading doctors in their field with natural ingredients and even stem cell technology. These products help your body perform and look better. Shop Jeunesse at GCNLife.com or call 1-844-443-6637. GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
There are reports Attorney General William Barr could reveal the principal conclusions of Special Counsel Robert Mueller's Russia report as early as today. Politicians from both parties urging a quick release. Barr is reportedly reviewing that report at the Justice Department. Officials say there's no timetable for reopening a portion of the Houston Ship Channel, one of the busiest waterways in the nation, after another setback caused flammable chemicals to seep into the water near a fire-ravaged petrochemical tank farm. Coast Guard Incident Commander Kevin Oates noted, who ordered it closed on Friday, said late yesterday,
"I will reopen the impacted portions of the ship channel once we're able to determine the hazardous conditions do no longer exist and we're able to recover any visible product that is on the waterway."
No winner last night, so Powerball rises to about $750 million. And this is USA Radio News.
There's no question you need omega-3s. But which form should you take? Fish oil or krill oil? Scientists have debated this for years. Luckily, there's a new solution to satisfy everyone. It's called Krill Omega 50 Plus. It combines ultra-pure fish oil and joint-soothing krill oil together in just one tiny pill. It's so powerful, it can promote the health of your heart and your arteries. And if that wasn't enough, it can also boost your joint comfort in just days. We're so sure Krill Omega 50 Plus will work for you, we'll even send you a free bottle to put to the test. The debate is over. It's not fish oil or krill oil. It's both. And now it's free. Just pay $4.95 for shipping and claim your free bottle. Call now. 1-800-399-6392. 1-800-399-6392. That's 1-800-399-6392.
Many people believe they don't control their own destiny because they haven't chosen to take the first step towards the life they've always dreamed of. Let them continue just getting by while you make the choice to do something about your future. Imagine working from home, earning the income you deserve. Start small or dream big. Work part-time or full-time. You choose the pace. Just visit startlivingyoung.com. That's startlivingyoung.com. And click on the Be Your Own Boss tab. Discover Juness, a state-of-the-art global health products company that spent 5 years on the Inc. 5,000 fastest-growing private companies in America list. With over $1 billion a year in sales, they'll provide all the tools you need to thrive and succeed. And you'll be blown away by how little it takes to get started. Visit startlivingyoung.com today and click on the Be Your Own Boss tab at the top of the page. 2019 will be the year your new life begins. Your destiny awaits at startlivingyoung.com.
This is Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
With John Potash, we are flies on the wall. So somebody is getting cancer here with the implication there was some hanky-panky with shoes?
Yeah, and MKUltra was experimenting with different chemicals that would be hypercarcinogenics, you know, could cause cancer fast. And so I have the documents supporting that. I mean, you know, this has been well researched, and they revealed, they got about 30,000 of MKUltra documents revealed. The CIA had ordered them all shredded, but 30,000 were left in the finance department. And the U.S. Senate Church Committee came out with these documents. But anyway, so here it is in Jamaica. He gets, he gets stabbed with the pin in his, whatever it was, in his boot. He gets cancer in that toe, and it's quickly spread throughout his body. And a few years later, he was dead. You know, so it turns out he does the concert, though. You know, at the time, he did the concert. The socialist prime minister won that next election, but the then lost the election after that. But about around the time of the next election, Bob Marley died of cancer. So, you know, it's just highly, it's believed by his manager, Don Taylor, that that CIA agent actually put something, you know, hypercarcinogenic in that shoe that got into a system and killed him.
You can do it that fast? Just give somebody some infected shoes?
It takes about 4 years or so.
Takes about four years.
76 to 80 or something like that, maybe 76 to 81. And he died within 4 or 5 years.
Well, this is one way to get rid of some despot in another country. Send him a free pair of shoes.
Well, yeah, well, you know, it, of course, you know, more people would be suspicious, I guess, of getting these shoes. But at first they tried to shoot him and kill him, and they were unsuccessful. But then they got to him that way, obviously.
I wonder if anyone's got those boots, like as a some sort of, you know, memento or collector's thing that could actually get them tested by somebody.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't heard if anyone found the boots that caused that. I don't know.
I mean, that would probably go for quite a bit at an auction.
You'd think, yeah. But you were asking about someone else too. I'm sorry.
Grateful Dead, I think.
Grateful Dead. Yeah. Well, the Grateful Dead are very interesting because of the fact that they were the house band of the Acid Test. That was Ken Kesey and the Pranksters. And Ken Kesey was a graduate student at Stanford for writing, and he was also supposedly an alternate on the Olympic wrestling team. He apparently barely even gotten drunk before in his life because he was so into wrestling at the time. But he was hurting for money, and so they were offering about $150 to, in today's prices, whatever, for him to try the LSD in an experiment at the Stanford Hospital. Now, this was all part of what it was part of the Human Ecology Fund. Okay, there was something called the Human Ecology Fund in the early 1960s that was out of Cornell Medical School. But Anthropology Today found out, it had come out with a big article saying this was actually CIA money. It was coming all from MKUltra. It was all CIA money coming into the Human Ecology Fund, and they were spreading these grants to psych professors at about 45 different colleges, about 40 or 50 hospitals, and 40 or 50 prisons around the country to test psychedelics on people. And so Timothy Leary was part of those grants, of course, but many psych professors were. And in Stanford, it was, they were running these experiments out of a Stanford University hospital where Ken Kesey was tried acid. And then after he did the acid experiments, he was given a job at the hospital as a janitor. When they gave him that job, they then also gave him the keys to the LSD supply. He proceeds to steal, quote unquote, steal loads of LSD. And proceeds to have house parties, a continual house party, just like the Millbrook Mansion where Timothy Leary was having these parties. These parties, the Merry Pranksters were part of these parties, but they lured a lot of writers and artists around the area to these parties. But then they created this psychedelic bus. And some of the people involved in creating the psychedelic bus were a guy named Ken Babbs, who just came out of the military, another who was actually still in the military that picked up the psychedelic bus. The bus, psychedelic bus, has loads of music on it. It's got a guy named Augustus Owsley Stanley III, better known as Owsley, was a member, is part of this Merry Pranksters and the psychedelic bus, and he helped set it all up and supplied lots of acid after Ken Kesey stopped getting the acid. They were stealing from the supply in Stanford. And so this is 64, 65 when they take this bus to New York for an event in New York, from Stanford, New York. But they do a route that goes all through the Civil Rights South, all through the southern states, and then come up to New York. And I argue that that was part of their agenda against the Civil Rights Movement, was promoting LSD to all these young white activists that were coming down for Freedom Summer. And they end up in Watts right after the race riots there. Activists call them race rebellions. And they're driving through promoting LSD in Watts. Harlem, right after the race riots in Harlem. And they're promoting LSD there. And then they come back to the San Francisco Bay Area, near Stanford, and they're having these acid tests I told you about before. And their house band for the acid test is the Grateful Dead. And also in attendance are John Ginger, he said in a legal deposition. Him and two of his fellow CIA scientists were there, from MKUltra. And some other MKUltra agents are also there. So they're attending these acid tests. And then they take the acid test down to Los Angeles, and they go to Watts right after the largest Los Angeles race riot of that era, the Watts riots. And they're having this band play, and they have these huge vats of Kool-Aid that are spiked with LSD. And some people knew they were spiked, and some people didn't. But here they are in this black neighborhood of Watts.
Oh, man.
And all these blacks are coming in to hear the music and dancing, and they're drinking all this acid, all this Kool-Aid that has acid in it. I have a guy actually in the bonus features of the film. I have a guy describing it, that everyone went into a complete meltdown at a certain point. But,
I imagine so, yeah.
Yeah, they couldn't control the amount of acid you were taking in these events.
Yeah, especially if people didn't know. I mean, that part's not cool at all.
Yeah.
I mean, okay, so there's this magic bus. I mean, was that like, I wonder if that song, The Who did?
Yes, I think it was.
Yeah.
That was, and also Magical Mystery Tour was reportedly based on, you know, allusion to the Magic Bus. Yeah, they show a picture of the Beatles on this bus, you know, and, you know, going across the cover of Magical Mystery Tour, whatever it is, and that was their plan. That was the way they did it. Here's this weird, wild, underground, fun party bus, and look, hey, let's write about it. You know, that's promoting these songs.
Yeah, part of me thinks, yeah, I really was born just a little too late. But and on the other hand, this is a really interesting look at an aspect of it that probably few people really know about. So, you know, thanks for bringing this to us.
Sure.
What's going on today with this sort of stuff? Have you got any kind of an inkling of, you know, is this still going on to some extent or what's happening?
Yes. Yes, it is still going on. And some of the way it's still going on is the Human Ecology Fund had a lot of links to a new group that's going on still today called the Multidisciplinary Association of Psychedelic Studies, MAPS. There's many links between MAPS and a guy named William Picard, who was arrested in 2001, who was considered the largest LSD trafficker in the country. And he was making his LSD in a missile silo, okay? Supposedly abandoned missile
silo.
That's
some irony.
it's just so bizarre, you know? So a lot of his very powerful associates weren't arrested, only him. So he seemed to be the fall guy. But his associates were associated with MAPS, a Harvard psychiatrist, whose name leaves me now, a guy named Halpern, his name is Halpern. And another guy who was working for the government. But even Picard was still on the payroll of the government at some point.
Hello.
Yeah.
Very kind.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Final segment, John, Gene, and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
As you know, neighbors, web hosting can be pretty cheap, but not all hosting is the same. DreamHost wins best of awards year after year. You get unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, and even the low-cost plans put your sites on high-performance SSDs. Want to know more about what DreamHost has to offer? Go to technightowl.com/host. Once again, that's technightowl.com/host.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
The United States of Empire is a book that claims the United States is the empire of the world. George Washington had warned us against foreign wars. The United States of Empire shows that World Wars I and II left England broken. Its former colony, the U.S., had to save the empire. Was there ever a vote? Who do we fight for? The Deep State began with World War I. The United States of Empire by James Dunn. Available at Amazon Books.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Pain in my neck, back, and shoulders has really gotten worse.
Relief for body pain is here with Sunny Bay Heating Pads.
Well, the last thing I want is to take another pill, so what's so good about Sunny Bay Heating Pads?
Sunny Bay Heating Pads, made by Biomed DB Design right here in the USA, come in all sizes. Our extra-large microwavable heating pad for back pain is designed to be large enough to cover your entire back. It's also perfect to wrap around your legs, knees, or shoulder and neck.
But I need to know they're good quality.
Of course. Sunny Bay heating pads and pillows are often an Amazon choice, and it's easy and most affordable when you purchase your Sunny Bay heating pads right from our website, sunshinepillows.com, or call us 253-678-1361.
Hey, a Sunny Bay heating pad
would make a great gift, right?
Yes, and they start at just $19.99, and free shipping is available. So call 253-678-1361 or shop for your Sunny Bay heating pad at sunshinepillows.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
This is Robert Hastings, author of UFOs and Nukes, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
This is our final segment. We're bringing everything back to the present day, and maybe we'll have to continue somehow. Go ahead.
Thanks. So the other two biggest institutes there, I argue, have the same connections as Human Ecology Fund to the CIA MKUltra of the past, but it's probably continued, is the Hefter Institute, which is funded by the Rockefellers. The Rockefellers put money into both MAPS and the Hefter Institute. And then the third biggest institute supporting all this, and their mission is promoting psychedelics. And they say it. They promote studies of psychedelics for healthy use in their own sites. You know, I mean, they fund studies all over the world to have doctors do tests that promote the use of LSD for all kinds of things. So the third group is the Beckley Foundation, and they are just amazing because they're started by a woman named Fielding who first tried to popularize tree panning. And tree panning is what I told you much earlier on in our radio interview, which was what John Lennon tried to do.
Something like that on some other show, Black Sails or something. It was just like a pirate show where they were like, it's really an old technique. Like it's barbaric almost.
You know, it's one thing if you have to do it, if somebody's, gone through massive head trauma and you got to, relieve the inflammation. But we're talking about normal, healthy people doing this to their own skulls. Wow. So this woman Fielding actually did that on film to her own skull. She was a baroness. She's an aristocrat. She grew up in a castle. I think she still owns castles. And so she comes from a massive amount of money. She's royalty. And so she starts this foundation that promotes psychedelics for, all kinds of medical usage and says it's the greatest thing. And, holds these psychedelic conferences with MAPS and the Hefter Institute. And that's what's being passed as like real science these days. In terms of they're promoting these studies that ecstasy is the best treatment for PTSD. The newspapers, sadly enough, are reporting this crap as real. I mean, I as a trauma expert have been taught, been trained for 50 hours of training in the use of something called EMDR, eye movement desensitization and reprocessing for treatment of PTSD and also a few other techniques. But these techniques aren't invasive at all, involve no chemicals, and they do work really well for PTSD. The military even says EMDR is one of the best techniques for PTSD. Yet, these guys are trying to say ecstasy, using MDMA is the best thing for PTSD. And, of course, ecstasy was originally an MKUltra drug. And ecstasy was found to be used in apartheid South Africa, distributed by the head of chemical warfare in the black ghettos.
If there was anything I could say that would sort of counter any of that, is that I guess when it comes to the use of these kinds of substances, there could be, I think, I would ask if you know of any, but I think there probably are, some cases where legitimate scientific therapeutic controlled studies and use might be beneficial for some people. But what you're describing where some, you know, aristocrat in a castle who has no formal scientific training just decides to popularize it, I'm not sure that that's the best way to go. So it's really important, I think, would you agree that if anyone is going to try these things, that they are dangerous unless they're used in the supervision of actual trained professionals who know what they're doing?
Yeah, I would say that. But I would say that we have to even question the authorities and the trained people because of the fact they've been so corrupted in our country. I feel like England's a little less corrupted, even though it's, you know, some problems in England. But our country is so corrupted these days that these MKUltra type experiments, that there's a mental health hospital in Baltimore that was using acid as therapy way into the 70s and started in the 60s. And they were funded by the Human Ecology Fund originally. Right. Mm-hmm. I just question authority on these issues, too, sadly enough.
Well, I think we have to. We have to see both sides of the equation here on this. And I mean, we know that things like opium poppies are used in a variety of medications. It can be really bad, but it can also be really helpful under certain, you know, when used, when it's supposed to be for the right reasons. So.
Right. Sure. So it is. It's, of course, it depends on the use that way, too. I agree with opium. And I don't know if cocaine can be used in a healthy way, but. But a lot of these drugs, even when they're not processed, like coca leaf, can be fine for people. People like, you know, talk about these people in Central America who chew coca leaves and say, oh, they're addicted to coca leaves. No, that's not the case. You don't get addicted to coca leaves. You get addicted to cocaine. For some reason, the processing of these chemicals is what makes them addictive. But a coca leaf giving you more energy to walk up a mountain, that's just a good, healthy use of it. When you have to use it so much, it starts to hurt your life in various major ways. That's when it starts to become an addiction and a problem, you know.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think as an addictions counselor, yeah, that part is obvious, and I'd have to agree with that completely. So is there anything you'd like to say just to wrap up?
Well, guys, if you want to see all the people I was talking about in this interview, you can see them in my film, Drugs as Weapons Against Us, the CIA War on Musicians and Activists. But granted, that's like it's a 2-hour film, and 2-hour films are based on about like 60 page scripts. I'm sorry. The book is about 450 pages. So all the details you can find in the book and all the endnotes for the sources there and all that stuff. I appreciate you guys, you know, talking about all this controversial stuff and helping your listeners find out more about it all.
Let me ask you a vast question here.
Sure.
If you were to ask anyone in the government.
Yeah.
About any of this, would they just say, oh, that's a lot of nonsense, it's wacky? What kind of response would they have, or have you asked them?
Well, in 1991, I attended a conference that Ramsey Clark was speaking at, and he's the former U.S. Attorney General under Lyndon Johnson. I was working as an addictions counselor then, you know, and I said, what do you think the government is using drugs for? You know, what do you think they're doing with drugs? And he said, well, I think the government is using drugs to sedate and divide the masses. So that's one of the highest up former government officials in his response. Of course, that was partly what helped me develop my theories, of course, was his response. If I were to ask someone now who's deeply involved in it, I don't even know how I would ask him in a way that I wouldn't be scared. But I guess I'd say, do you really want to hurt so many lives? Didn't you think you could just try to convince people of the way you want things to be? But I just feel like their answer would be, no, they know better. They know they can't convince all these people to say, give me all your money because, you know, and here's how we can control you to so we can have more of your money and you can have less of your money. Because that's what they're, it's a lot of it's really about social control for the rich to get richer and the poor to not be able to rise up and change things for the better or the middle class either.
I take it then that the men in black have not come to you and asked you to shut up about this stuff.
Not yet, and hopefully they don't. And hopefully, you know, it's I stay under the radar enough that they don't take me too seriously. We'll see.
I guess be careful what you wish for. Tell our listeners if they want to know more about the things you do, where do they go?
Yeah, so you can buy the book on Amazon or at Barnes & Noble. If it's on the shelf at Barnes & Noble, they say they'll get in the store within 2 or 3 days. For the film, you can see it on Amazon Prime. It's streaming now on Amazon Prime. It's also in places like Vimeo and Vudu. And the film is also being sold at places like online, Target and Walmart and Barnes & Noble and Amazon, Best Buy. But the first book is only sold on Amazon and the independent bookstores, the FBI War on Tupac Shakur and Black Leaders. But thanks so much for helping me get the ideas out there, you guys. You guys, I meant to say my website's drugsisweapons.com for anyone who wants to look at that.
You can find us on Twitter if you look for the Paracast. You can also find two Paracast fan clubs, a group, and a community on Facebook. And now, of course, with all the crazy publicity about Facebook and all the conspiracies, we may have to find some other place. We also should tell you about the Paracast Plus. That's the way you get the ad-free version of this show, free of the network ads, of course, and the After the Paracast podcast, where you never, ever, ever know what's going to happen next. Sometimes it's just me and Randall talking. Sometimes we have other guests on there. Sometimes we continue the show that began on the regular episode of the Paracast. Indeed, this week, John Potash will return for more discussions on After the Paracast. For more information, go to plus.theparacast.com, plus.theparacast.com. Prices start at just $1.49 a week. Wow, what a night this has been. John Potash, thank you for joining us on the Paracast.
Thanks so much for having me on.
The Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg and Christopher O'Brien, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in The Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
The Genesis Communications Network is one of America's premier broadcasters of captivating talk radio. We thank you for listening. Now, just imagine, there are thousands of people who are just as passionate about radio as you are. But what you may not realize is how easy and affordable it is to advertise with us. Radio commercials for your business could be heard on hundreds of radio stations across the U.S. every day. We can help you by creating an effective radio advertising campaign for your company. From script writing to producing your commercial, just like the one you're listening to right now. No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.